Hello, everybody, and welcome to V Speaks, Conversations with Heart and Soul. I'm so excited today to have a great conversation with Erica Pierce, the Vice President of the Seaside Style in the idyllic town of Seaside, Florida. And I have known Erica for 28 years now, and so we go way back. And the story is just going to be fascinating and rich and full of so much inspiration, because this is truly a story of inspiration. Erica, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you, Lisa. I'm glad to be here.
It's so fun. So when did you go to Seaside? I think it was 10 years after Seaside was founded.
Actually, I moved to this area in 1985, and I was pregnant at the time. And once my baby was born, Mackenzie,
yeah,
my daughter, I was restless. You know, I had worked all my life. So I wandered down 30A, and at that time there was not a soul on the highway, if you can imagine that.
Yes, yes.
And Bud Nally's had a sandwich board outside, said, "Now hiring." And I got my courage up and went inside, and Dave Roshkov and Scott Wachowski had just opened a year previously. So this was 1987, and I started working for them as a hostess. Then I figured out the way to make money was to be a waitress.
Right.
So yes. I was working my way to the top.
Right.
Wow. So basically, February 1987, I hit Seaside.
Wow. And then how long did you stay at Bud Nally's?
I stayed at Bud Nally's two seasons.
Okay.
But I was hired by Robert Davis in August of 1988, still working at Bud Nally's.
Yeah.
And at the time, Dreamland Heights, which is known as the Hall Building, was about to be finished. And he was going to open up a general store in that building. Mm-hmm. So I gave him my resume and my degrees in interior design, which I love.
Yes.
And he hired me to manage and buy for the store.
Was that Modica?
I'm sorry?
Modica? Or
No, the name of the store was El Pizzitz.
Oh, El Pizzitz,
yeah.
Right.
Named after his grandfather, Louis Pizzitz, who owned a large department store chain in Alabama.
Right. Yeah, so backstory for people that don't know about the town of Seaside. Robert Davis is the visionary and co-founder, along with his wife, Daryl Davis. And this is just an amazing story that the developers saw in you, something that ended up being working together for, currently for how many years? 34 years, which is amazing. And the other backstory to tell the listeners as well is that your little baby Mackenzie that you're telling us about right now works with you or for you, and you brought her up. And so it's a real, the story of Seaside to me is so rich in that there are so many families and husbands and wives that work together, and mothers and daughters, and that it's just this like anomaly, microcosm of generational businesses, which I find maybe even more fascinating than the absolute beauty of the place, because it just works differently than other places do.
And you have to be
a certain person to do that. And so I know I've heard you interviewed before. I've read stories that you have commented on several times over the years about like your meeting Daryl too was a significant turning point in your life, and all that that meant. Tell us about that.
It started when I met Daryl at the restaurant. She and Robert quite frequented Bud Nally's because it was the only place, you know, in Seaside to eat at the time. And Daryl knew that I had a baby at home, and she was pregnant. So she invited me to lunch and pick my brain about, you know, what's it like to raise a small child? You know, how are you coping with this? And so Daryl had Micah, her son, in November of 1987. And we just kind of got to know each other better because we both had young children. And when we opened El Pazitz in 1988, she and Micah came and met my daughter Mackenzie, and they kind of clicked. So Daryl offered to let Mackenzie share her nanny, which was Dana Juslin. Mm-hmm. Everyone knows Dana Juslin.
Right, right.
She's the most phenomenal woman, nanny, entrepreneur
yes.
that you can meet. So basically, Mackenzie's been in Seaside since she has been 1 year old.
Yeah, that's amazing.
You know, she started working for us at 14. She was going to the Seaside Neighborhood School, and I would make her walk over to what was then Perspicacity and empty the garbage, clean the mirrors, you know, sweep, do whatever. And then when she turned 16, she wanted to get a car. So the deal was she had to pay for her insurance. So she went to work for the Seaside store, selling t-shirts.
Wow. So it's in her blood.
It's in her blood.
And I moved here in 93, and I remember, you know, looking out my office window at Seaside and seeing this person, Dana, which I would say resembled like the Pied Piper of
yes.
kids, because all these little kids would be like a flock of ducks behind her, you know, and she was just with them all the time. And that just seemed like for a child to live in Seaside and have that type of an experience, that is an unusual and beautiful childhood.
Very much so. And it's so idyllic that I think that's what attracts families to come to Seaside. And talking about generations, we're seeing now the kids that came with their parents in the 90s. They're grown-ups, and they're coming with their families now. And we see that it's generation after generation that they love Seaside so much. That's where they want to come back.
Right, yeah. And that is the foundation of it. And then you've built a brand, a huge brand within Seaside, with the Seaside Associated Stores. And so if you can give the listeners a background, well, one, how many total stores did you open and brand over the years? Some of them aren't here anymore. There are new iterations or different names, or some of them have been, you know, reimagined and are something completely different. But like over the years, how many would there be?
I don't know the exact
number. Like maybe 12?
Maybe.
Yeah.
And in the beginning, Daryl and I, our goal was to start the retail in Seaside. She started with Perspicacity, and she had a collection of Italian pottery. She had some children's toys. She had some antiques, rugs, and she also had the first Seaside t-shirt. And Daryl had gone to a drafting class in Panama City and actually hand-drew the first Seaside logo.
Yeah, that's amazing.
It's amazing. So most of our stores spun off of Perspicacity, the first one being El Pazitz, and we moved the housewares there. Then we decided to open a shop called Souvenirs, and it was spelled S-U-E-V-A-N-E-E-R-S.
Right.
And that was originally in a 400-square-foot space. Then we opened a stationery store called Papyrus.
That was before my time.
We didn't know that Papyrus was actually a registered trademark for a very large chain of stationery stores.
Whoops.
Along that time, we opened next door a store called Petals and Petals, and we had fresh cut flowers and rented bicycles. A strange combination. So our poor manager there, Sherry Lindquist, she spent more time adjusting bikes and working on bikes than she did making flower arrangements. So that business we dropped soon when the cottage rental agency decided renting their bikes on their own. We had another store called Seaside Transit Authority, and it started out selling Vans and Superga tennis shoes. We were way ahead of our time. It was not in vogue there.
Right.
So we decided to let it grow up. We moved it across the street to downtown. And turned it into a travel store. Mm-hmm. So we carried Ex Officio clothing, Columbia, Mephisto shoes, Arsh shoes, all kinds of just, you know, kind of an Orvis type store before Orvis was known in this area. Way ahead of our time. Yeah. So
that's amazing. Yeah. And so now, current day, if you could list off the stores that you're managing right now.
Well, our flagship store is the Seaside Style, and it's located next to Modica Market. And it has what originally we had carried in Pizzitt's, the best of the best, and the best of the best from the Seaside Store. The store is phenomenal. I think it's one of the best put together stores on 30A, if not in this area. We had a desire from our customers to increase our color palette. Mm-hmm. With the Seaside Style, our color palette's pretty classic. It's nautical, you know, your red, whites, and blues with pop colors of khaki, that type of thing. Well, people wanted more color. Mm-hmm. So we opened up Seaside Beach, and we did the colors of the water and the colors of the sunsets. So basically it was a mint, you know, a tan for the sand, an orange for the sunsets. And so we expanded into seven colors into that store.
Amazing.
Yeah.
I mean, the story is so big. I want to keep it going and touch on all the keystone points, but let's segue for 1 second into when you talk about the colors and how Seaside has its own colors and your own paint color and then your own warehouse. And what it's grown into is a empire, a branding business that took off into something that it can't even be fathomed what you've been able to do. So share about like where you are now from having seven paint colors.
Right. I think it goes back to the early days when in the 90s, the whole decade. Daryl and I were trying to build the retail. And once young entrepreneurs started coming in Seaside and wanting businesses, we said, let's just do our stuff. You know, we're done opening new businesses, so we thought.
Yes.
And we concentrated on, okay, how can we tie all of our stores together? And at the time, there were five stores. Mm-hmm. And she had Perspicacity, which was an open-air market with women's fashion and accessories. We had Seaside Beach. We had Seaside Kids. We had the Seaside Store. And we had Pizzitt's Home and Cottage. Mm-hmm. So we wanted to pull everything together so that we weren't spinning our wheels buying for five stores that all had their own look and
personality.
Feel. Right. So we worked with a consultant who was a homeowner at the time and helped us put together just who we were and where we were going. Mm-hmm. So it developed kind of our company mantra that everything that we carry has to be real, it has to be fresh, it has to be simple, it has to be classic. And that gave us our running shoes. Mm-hmm. So every time we go to market, anytime we look at our marketing, anytime we look at any kind of branding, we say those words. And if it doesn't fit into that scope, we leave it. So it made going to market easier because it kept us focused.
Tell us about all the places that you've been on your inspiration trips, too, because this is not just a... it's very thoughtful and methodical, and your research with your travel is very real, and you've been a lot of places. So tell us like some of the nuances from different places, like, for example, Nantucket, that we both love.
Yes.
Nantucket a lot.
Right.
So I'm not... That would be a really good excuse to go on another trip there.
Oh,
anytime
we're
that you
planning
can,
on
yes.
it. No, Daryl from the beginning has always been about expanding our horizons personally. So even from the beginning when the company was not making money, she would say, if we went to New York City, you have to go see a Broadway play. You have to go to the museums, you know, starting there. We always try to be inspired by something we see, and it doesn't necessarily need to be a product. It could be a certain way someone does things. It's food at restaurants. It's paint colors that we see. And we started traveling just to different places to see what everybody else was doing and to get inspired. One of the best trips we ever took was to the south of France. Rented a car, stayed in Nice. It was just gorgeous. Drove to Saint-Tropez, drove to Le Pins, drove to Monte Carlo, and just it blew us away. We came back with so many ideas because, of course, the Europeans do it so much better than we do.
Correct.
And since then, it's like we pick a spot almost every year that we haven't been to, and Nantucket was one of those places. And we just felt like, oh, my gosh, this is seaside.
Totally. Yeah.
The customers were the same. They were, you know, of course, had a lot of money, but they were so down to earth, just casual and so friendly and open arms. And just the downtown Nantucket, you know, the little shops.
So charming.
So charming.
Yeah.
So charming.
And so last year, I think you went to Palm Beach in Florida a couple of times, because that's like, to me, like it was on my radar going down there. And then we wrote about that in the magazine as well, but I was fascinated with what was going on down there. And so
it truly is fascinating. And we chose Palm Beach because we're moving Cabana from the open air market to a large indoor space, and we need an inspiration and thought that Palm Beach was the vibe.
Right.
And we stayed at this wonderful vintage hotel, The Colony. I think you've been there.
Which is amazing.
And they are so on brand what they do and so Palm Beach-ish. And, you know, it's not us.
Right.
I mean, the clientele's not us. I mean,
There are hints of it and pieces of it that are, but you can still take from that.
Absolutely. So we got a lot of ideas. We actually went to one of the vintage furniture antique stores and bought stuff for the new store and had it shipped back up here.
Okay.
And it's the real old Florida item. So we were excited about that.
And this your new cabana opens this Memorial Day weekend.
We're hoping.
You're hoping. Okay. Yeah. Well, that is just going to be really looking forward to seeing that and all you've done, because I know you've all worked on that really hard for a while. And transitioning into a new store, new location, keeping the brand, yet evolving. That's what we were talking about earlier. So retail is not an easy business to be in.
It might be
one of the harder businesses to be in. Couple that with getting slammed with COVID and everything. You had a resurgence of sales, and instead of it depleting you, it ended up growing you. And did you ever see that such a thing could be like a bad thing could end up being such a good thing?
I didn't. And we were closed 67 days.
Okay.
Counted.
Who's
them.
Counting?
Me.
Yeah.
We were involved in strategic meetings at the beginning every single day, Zoom calls. I was with my accountant every moment counting how much was left in the bank and applying for the PPP. We got down to almost being shut down. The money was gone. And I talked Robert and Daryl into letting us open up the 23rd of May. And they did. And the crowds came.
Like that day?
It started with Memorial Day weekend.
Okay, well, a week later.
I think people were so tired of being shut in, so tired of not being able to travel. They couldn't go to Europe. They couldn't go to Mexico, but they could get in their car and drive to Seaside.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was like a boomerang effect.
It absolutely was. And we ended up doing the same amount of money in 2020 as we did in 2019, and we were closed during all of spring break and all of May.
Yeah, that's amazing.
And it's amazing. Mm-hmm. And I feel like people are loyal to us, and it just grew into this phenomenon of people standing in long lines to get in to buy a piece of Seaside, We were blown away. Yeah. Some days the line was 75 to 100 people.
Yeah, and some days it was raining out and the line was
I worked that long. The line a lot of times, like yeah. just passing out stickers the day it was raining. Yeah. I'd give free ponchos, right. talk to the people. Yeah. Some of them didn't know why they were standing in the line.
No, okay.
Like, how did they didn't even know what they were standing in the line
they
for.
Just knew something
they just
good
knew something
was there.
Mm-hmm. Great that they had to get in this yeah. line. And it just, the whole experience of talking to the people in the line just made me feel like, wow, yeah. we have done something yeah, that's so successful.
Congratulations. I mean, it just like an onlooker, you know, driving to work and looking at that was something to behold.
Yeah.
You know, really.
Pretty crazy.
Yeah, yeah. But so unreal. So our story, your story is so big, we could go on and on. So I'm trying to like, you know, like I said earlier, hit the key points. If you could tell us, like, what was like an absolute highlight for you at Seaside all over these years that stands out to you? That you just can't believe happens?
Well, I think all of my career at Seaside is a dream story. Like, I've given talks at some Christian business groups, and I say that that was the day that God flung the door open and gave me the opportunity to walk through it. Mm-hmm. And it really is a Cinderella story. Uh-huh. I mean, when I started, I was completely broke. And, you know, just being able to work with the Davises yeah. to build that yeah. empire, mm-hmm. so mm-hmm. to speak, mm-hmm. I feel like, you know, that is such a blessing to me. Yeah. The other thing is to see how my family, my daughter, mm-hmm. my husband, my niece, mm-hmm. wanted to come and be part of the family business. And we feel like it's a family business yes. with Daryl and Robert and Micah. Right. And Micah's now involved very much so in Seaside and just that younger generation mm-hmm. that eats, sleeps, mm-hmm. breathes Seaside. Mm-hmm. That really makes me proud.
Yeah. I mean, that is also a blessing because so many people don't want to follow their parents yeah. and they want to go do their own thing for whatever reason. Like a lot of people don't want to do that, but the fact that they did and then they're as passionate as you, that's definitely something to be super thankful for.
I think if people are considering going into retail or the restaurant business, they need to consider including their family, because if not, you're going to live your life at that store or that restaurant, and they're going to be put on the back burner. And I think the more you can involve your children at the beginning with your business and include them, mm-hmm. we took them on buying trips mm-hmm. when they were teenagers.
Mm-hmm. Live work.
Exactly.
Working and playing
and
at the
that's
same time.
That's what they wanted to do. I think about the Modicas at Modica Market, mm-hmm. Carmel and Charles Jr., you know, they stepped in when mm-hmm. their parents, you know, we're getting older, mm-hmm. and they ran the business for their parents. And I think even today, you know, Sarah still, you know, has to approve a lot of things, but they're in there day and night.
Right, right.
You know, it's incredible.
It's amazing. So you are publishing a book, a legacy book on this story that we're talking about right now. And we're super excited to be collaborating with you on this book. It's a big deal because you sell an immense amount of gorgeous books in your mm-hmm. stores. And coffee table books have always been in style, but they've reached a new level mm-hmm. of popularity right now. And I think just like using a coffee table as a piece of art or a piece mm-hmm. of decoration for your home, you know, in addition to looking through the pages and getting inspiration, and it's a souvenir. It's so mm-hmm. many different things right now. How long have you been hoping and planning for this book that we're working on right now?
Well, we've thought about it, you know, since our brand, you know, was so fine-tuned, and our customer base grew through social media, Daryl's always wanted to tell our story. You know, how did we get here? And it truly starts, the book starts out with Daryl's story, which is while Robert was still in real estate, she opened up a farmer's market and sold tomatoes and vegetables, and she would display them in these beautiful baskets with colorful tissue paper, to how she and I met and really started all the retail in Seaside, and how together we're still, you know, partners on that and have grown our team. And I think, you know, for those of you that love Seaside or those of you who have never heard of Seaside, I think the book will be very interesting. It's very pictorial driven, not a lot of written words, but enough to
tell a story.
But I think visually, this is a beautiful book, and I think Lisa's team is doing an incredible job on creating that.
They are, yeah, I think it's, and your team too. I mean, it's definitely, as we know, like, absolutely so collaborative at this point. The birthing of the book was not easy because, as you were saying earlier, you know how Seaside's brand is so simple and, like, all the adjectives you were using to describe, like, if it's not on brand, then we're not going to sell it. You know, I've always found that when you're doing any type of design or anything with aesthetics, whether that be clothing or books or marketing, that marketing and branding something simple is the hardest thing to do, because you have to censor yourself and stay so true to the simplicity and actually be comfortable with simplicity. And so many people aren't, yet they gravitate toward it. Why you have a thriving business, because you are stewards and protectors of the brand, and you do it so well. That was maybe the most challenging part, to channel your own edits and ethos and not have it go over or under that.
Right.
So, I always credit simplicity.
Me too.
Because it is not easy to stay simple.
I learned that from Robert Davis in the beginning.
What did he say that, like, instilled that knowledge?
Well, it's so funny because Daryl and I are so different fashion-wise. Mm-hmm.
She has great style, by the way.
She has great style. I'm pretty simple in the way I dress, the way my home is. And he said to me one time, we were in a meeting, I think I had a black suit on or something, and he turned to Daryl and said, "Now, I cannot see Erica in perspicacity clothes." I was like, okay.
Did you agree?
I agreed. Okay. And, you know, he said, you know, stay true, you know, be very classic and simple. But he also, when we were working on the very first website for the Seaside Style, you know, I'd share with him where we were on the project, and he told me, strip it down, strip it down, strip it down to the core. He said, you don't need all this fluff. Just go back to your foundation and it will work. And I have kept those words with me the whole time.
Wow. It's just, it is such a success story and very inspiring that, you know, because people don't really stay together that long, you know, like usually there will be some type of a breach. And so just keeping a relationship for a very long time, I think that's as much of a testament to the financial success and that the fact that it's still going on too. And that's probably how it is still going on, because that hasn't been broken.
Right. I mean, we've had our ups and downs.
Of course.
Everybody does.
Yeah, everyone
but does. I think it's like a good marriage.
Yeah.
You know, you're going to fight with your spouse.
Right.
You know,
argue
through things, but then you work it out,
right?
You know, and
well, the ability though to do that is so few people actually are willing to have an argument and then make up, because a lot of people walk away from that,
right,
and won't actually do the making up part. Which I feel like the relationship is much better when you do have some aught and some angst, because then it's real,
right?
And a relationship has to be real for
absolutely
it to be really good. So,
and you grow from it,
yeah, totally. Oh. So, well, your book is going to debut in October 2020,
Yay.
Which is so exciting. And I know they are going to fly off the show. So you're going to have to get more and more blue space. you know, we can do a sneak peek of the two covers. So we decided for the listeners out there that there were about 8 different cover options that were presented by our team, our creative director, Tracy Thomas, and Jordan Staggs, who's our editor and communications director, is the author of the book. And we thought the day before the meeting, when we were presenting it to you, that we loved the two covers mm-hmm. equally. And then, thankfully, you did too, because we think they're going to go for... different people will buy both. Some will buy one, some will buy the other. But one of them is your mascot, Bud, who is your Dash Hound dog that's been with the brand and lived so many different lives. new Buds and all that. And that's just adorable. But it is so part of your brand, like in the Seaside style with the keychains and everything. It's so simple and so endearing, but the story behind it is so authentic that mm-hmm. Bud was truly part of that brand and part of that town.
Absolutely.
And people relate to it. And that's what branding is all about, relatability mm-hmm. and connection. Mm-hmm. And so that is what you've done. And then, you know, thankfully, I think, you know, your book is capturing all of that, which is, mm-hmm. you know, very hard to do. Just because I'm fascinated by this, and I know other people are, but you might find it boring. Tell me what it was like when the Truman Show was being filmed in Seaside. Because I can't get enough backstories on that.
The circus came to town.
Yes.
It was almost like an invasion uh-huh. because they really commandeered the town. They built fake building sets and... I think they paid to have the town square bricked. Mm-hmm. It was quite interesting that they cast a lot of local people. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You know, the school bus drivers, you know, the yeah. twins from Dufuniac. Yeah. And Jim Carrey was just in it all. I mean, just a hoot. Uh-huh. You know, I think Dave Roshkoff revealed lately that he actually had a speaking role and he flubbed it up so much that they
cut it. Okay.
And then, of course, that night at the dinner that they had at Bonelli's, uh-huh. Jim Carrey just made so much fun of it.
Oh, yeah. At the movie or Dave?
At Dave.
Oh, so, yeah, so amazing that you were all able to experience that because that was...
You know, it was so good for the town.
It was.
It debuted, I believe it was in the theater in 1998, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But Paramount had to pay a location fee for... having the movie filmed in Seaside. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So Robert and Daryl took that fee and they built the Seaside Neighborhood School, yeah. which to me is...
was the best part of it, maybe.
Amazing story. Mm-hmm. And I think that's what sets Seaside apart so much is that we have that organic school there that, you know, is just an amazing place for kids... Yes. to learn and grow up.
Right, yeah. Very few get to experience such a life, and I don't know any kid that's ever gone through the school that didn't really love it and mm-hmm. know that they were
right.
in a good place, and their parents too, yeah. And that's, school is really, really way above any educational experience mm-hmm. that you can get.
Absolutely.
Yeah, yeah. So yeah. it's pretty amazing. Well, can you give our listeners some inspiration? You've worked hard. You've worked a long time doing this. You've had immense success mm-hmm. doing it. But like in everything, there is sacrifice and there are long days or maybe even long years. But give us some tips about, well, how do you stay the course? How do you keep on keeping on and stay true to your vision and just like stewardship of your job?
I think because I love it so much. I love going to work. You know, I could retire now if I wanted to, but I don't see that happening. It's just having a sense of place and a sense of belonging and feeling like you're making a difference and I think making our customers happy is our goal, and getting to share Seaside with them. I think for so many people that are thinking about opening up a retail store or have a retail store, don't copy what's already been done. Don't think that you can do it better if it's already here, because the sources are not there. We all go to the same markets. We all have similar vendors. So if you do a retail place, my advice is to get a focus. If your store opens and the main focus is selling turtle shells, don't ever lose that focus that you're selling turtle shells. Because so many get off course. They go to market, they follow trends, they add things that shouldn't be in their shop that confuse their customer. And I think it confuses them.
So they're not editing. See, that's what you're good at. And even Robert's saying that, like, always edit.
Yes.
Edit. And editing is so hard, because that's how you get to the simple and the point and the raw ethos of what you're doing. You know?
Right.
Yeah. Editing.
Yeah. And for us, you know, it's Seaside's a registered trademark. And we spend an enormous amount of time fighting trademark infringements. But it's also laughable that now so many people are coming out with their own 38 t-shirt things. But there's, you know, they get the point. They want to copy the Seaside shirt, like maybe making it the same font or whatever. And we're like, please
don't do your
own thing.
Right.
You know,
this is not going to work.
It's not going to work.
Right. How many t-shirts did you sell last year? Like,
The
amount, like, do you even know? It's
probably around 140,000.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's a high number of t-shirts, and they love them, and your sweatshirts and everything. Yeah, there's no
actually
beating.
Actually, our sweatshirt business is growing to be better than our t-shirt business.
Yeah, I see that, and I notice it, and it's all, you know, just an incredible journey. But again, it's the brand, it's keeping it, it's not deviating from it, knowing who you are. And then, you know, like you said at the beginning, you have very loyal followers and very loyal customers to your brand and to the Seaside experience too. So I congratulate you. It is really a marvel to watch, like,
that
has become. And I know you work hard, and I can't imagine anybody else that could have been in that position to do actually what you did. And obviously, Robert and Daryl, because I always sing their praises everywhere I go.
Nobody's as crazy as we are.
Well, yeah, you do need a whole lot of crazy to keep things going and keep them right and pure and all that. Well, do you have anything else that we can talk about? Let me think. Are we missing anything? So many stories.
There's so many stories.
So many stories. Well, people will have to find those stories
in
the book, The Seaside Style, debuting in October 2020 this year. I can't wait. Erica, thank you so much for being here. It's nice chatting with you. I've always had so much respect for you, and I'm glad that our worlds have crossed again. You know, they come in and out. You know, we live in a small town, which is so funny how you cannot see somebody that in this small town for several years, and then all of a sudden they're back in your life again. I think that cadence of living in a small town is one of my favorite parts of it too.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much.
Well, thank you so much for having me. I can't wait to see how the progress of the book is going, and here we are.
Yes. Thank you. You're welcome.
Thank you.
Everybody, stay tuned for more podcasts, V-Speaks, Conversations with Heart and Soul. Our guest today was Erica Pierce, Vice President of the Seaside Style. And you're going to have to get that book. And we thank you so much for listening and so much for watching. Have a great day.